gridiron.
Shut your mouth, podcasting.
Yards, touchdowns.
Shut your mouth, podcasting. First round draft pick. Believe we got stats, kid. Quarterback sacking. 100 yard dashing. So tap in for the action.
Welcome to the Sim Podcast Show. I'm your co-host, Eric. And I'm always joined by my co-host, Ron. What up, Ron?
What's going on?
You know what we do? We talk about the National Football League on a weekly basis, including the playoffs. And this is episode 115. Ron, first of all, we had a two-week layoff.
Yeah, we did. We did.
And it wasn't intentional because it was, we had technical difficulties and then I went away. So
right.
So this is episode 115. We already did 113 and 114 in our heads.
Yep.
Ron, how was the new year? How was Christmas? All that, because we missed it.
Yeah, it was good. You know, relaxing. Didn't do much. Had some family in town for Christmas. And then for the New Year's, it was just us. You know, we were in the house, my wife, my son, FaceTiming like family, and you know, by like 12:45 we were in bed for the most part, so it was quiet, you know. And that's, I think, you know, at our age, I think we'll quiet's good. I think we'll take quiet.
Yeah I agree. When you're like in a quiet place and you know your family's safe, you actually have more fun than going out.
Oh yeah,
spending all your money, your hard-earned money, for like what, a couple hours maybe.
Yeah. And let's face it, like at my age, you know, I'm usually in bed by like 10:30 anyway. So it was like it took extra effort to try to make myself, you know, stay awake for 12 o'clock. I considered taking a nap earlier in the day and everything, but I didn't end up doing it. I just kind of powered through and made it.
That's what you got to do. Ron, we didn't have two episodes because of the technology difficulties, but the Steelers are in the playoffs. Yep. How do you feel about that?
I feel pretty good. I think we're in a good situation right now. I know, and we'll talk about like when we talk about the season, how it went. I know the last couple weeks have been tough, but one, I think the goal was to make the playoffs, and we're in the dance, so that's a good thing. And I think, you know, as far as like the matchups, you know, I think we're in a pretty good position. I think we match up well, obviously, with the Ravens. And so I feel pretty good with how things are right now. I know a lot of people are down and worried and anxious and stuff like that. I feel pretty confident, pretty good.
That's good. I like the sound that you're very upbeat. You're very upbeat. So what do we have in this episode? We're going to do our NFL news. We're going to do our team season review. And then we'll get into the new wildcard tournament. And that should be a lot of fun. But first, let's talk about the obvious, because we weren't recording, but the coaches being fired. Are you surprised by any coach being fired?
Not necessarily. I was, I guess, surprised a little bit about Mayo, because the news were like over the last few weeks have been all over the place, right? There was some reporting that Mayo was going to for sure be back for next year. He was part of the plan. And then, you know, reporting like, okay, maybe he's not so safe. So I guess that one is a little bit surprising. Pierce, you know, I think it was a little bit surprising there too, just because I don't think like his team was set up for success. No quarterback at all. Dealing with the Davante Adams situation and having to like trade him. He was, to me, like his team was handcuffed and the team continued to play hard throughout the season. So, you know, that one was a little bit surprising as well, I guess.
So you're really, I'm not surprised by any of the coaches that were let go, because they were terrible coaches, including Mayo, who was supposedly handpicked by the Crafts. He was also terrible. Antonio Pierce was terrible. Look at the organization, the Raiders. We talked about what happened with Chicago. Jaguars got rid of their coach, which we predicted would happen. The only one, I don't even know what the who are the Jets even considering at this point, because they're interviewing everybody, basically.
Yeah, lots of teams, like, you know, are being aggressive with their interview. They're not waiting around and stuff, which is, I guess, is normal, but they're not, no one's picked anyone at this point, and they are doing their due diligence, which I think is a good thing, and going through the process of interviewing people. You know, Mike Vrabel is like a hot candidate, if you will, for the Patriots and the Jets and so on and so forth, but I think it's a good thing that they haven't, you know, made a decision too quickly, because you don't want to repeat. I think for all these teams, you don't want to repeat of like what's happened and you pick the wrong person. So take your time, go through the process, bring as many candidates in as possible, and then make a decision.
Also, the Rooney Rule is in full effect.
Oh, yeah.
So they can't, you know, I think where Mayo, because he was hired internally, they didn't have to do any of the, you know, red tape that the NFL makes you do. I mean, when I saw that they were interviewing, like, Leftwich, who's been out of football for 2 years, and then when they're interviewing, what's his name? Some, like, third special teams coach, but he happens to be African-American. That's a joke. That's a joke. Although they have Aaron Glenn as a candidate to interview, so maybe he'll surprise them.
Are they looking or trying to talk to Ben Johnson at all?
Well, they haven't gotten permission, so I guess what all these teams are in the playoffs, you have to ask permission to interview.
Yeah, but I know he's been lined up already to talk to teams. I think anyone who is, I don't know what the rule is. I know they made a change, but I think if you're in the playoffs and you have a bye week, which Detroit does, then you're able to go sit and interview. I could be wrong about that, but
I mean, I can see some flexibility with that, but you know, Brian Flores, he can't interview until after the playoffs. So it is what it is. I'm just saying that putting this charade of like, oh, we know it's Mike Vrabel. Yes, we know it's Mike Vrabel. I mean,
you don't think he'll go to the Jets or something? Just say, okay, Jets offered me something. If the Jets were like, if they pull the trigger quickly and say, okay, we want to offer you something, you think he'll take it without waiting for the Pats? Or,
well, the whole reason why Mayo got fired right away was to appease the Vrabel and to, like, you know, make that process a little bit faster. Because, of course, if you don't want Vrabel on the Jets for the next 5 years, whatever time frame. So, yeah, it's all going to fall into chips, but we'll talk about it when we do the team review. But it is going to be Mike Vrabel, in my opinion.
Would you be happy with that?
I'd be ecstatic. Should have been hired the year before.
Yeah. I honestly would like, I think where the NFL's heading in a direction where you need to hire more offensive coordinators, offensive minded people to run your team. I don't think it's necessarily a must, but it's the way, if you look at teams that have been successful recently, look at the teams in the playoffs. Like, you got like a lot of those head coaches calling plays, you know. I just think that's where the NFL's headed.
I think the rules make it that way, but if you have a good defense, and I mean, we look at the Chiefs, you think their offense is what's keeping them 15-1? It's a defense.
Yeah.
Well, defense.
That's true.
Let's talk about the prediction winner, which you came close, Ron, but no cigar. 179-171. You made a violent effort at the end, but it wasn't enough.
No.
It wasn't enough. Let's talk about our teams, Ron. Pittsburgh Steelers, overall, they've lost 4 in a row.
Yeah.
Which, a lot of people expected them because the second half of the season was the hardest. But in your words, what are the positives and what are the negatives of the season?
Well, let me start with my prediction, right? So I predicted they'd finish 10-7 and they would struggle like those last few games. So I think I had them going like 5-3 down the, you know, the final eight games or so, including losing three in a row. I was pleased with the way the season went. I think there are some positives. I think Russell Wilson, for the most part, played well. I know he's struggling the last couple weeks. I think offensively, there's certain players that really had a good, you know, good season. Hayward, for example, at his age, just re-signed an extension, and then, you know, we were worried about his performance, and he probably had his best season. I think there's definitely some positives that has happened throughout for the year so far. Having said that, I think ultimately how we perform in the playoffs is really all that matters. And, you know, we'll see what happens this week when we play the Ravens on Saturday.
So you're now worried that the last six games, I think, they've averaged 17 points.
I'm not satisfied with how we look, but I think when you look at the results, I think it can be answered by a number of things that have happened. One, there's poor play calling. The play calling has been terrible. That has to change if we want to score more points. Two, we've had a lot of errors that have wiped out touchdowns recently. I think it was like three games in a row where we had a touchdown, like call back on a penalty and stuff like that. Those are mental errors that we have to clean up. I think it's fixable. Defensively, we've had a number of people that were out. We just started getting healthy again. And these teams, like I said, Philly, Baltimore, Kansas City, and I'll throw Cincinnati in them too. Those are like, you can argue, those are like the hottest team, right, in the NFL. So would I have wanted to win those? Yes. Did we win those? No. But I think when I look at just the team as a whole, I'm not overly concerned because I think the goal again was not just to make the playoffs, but to win a playoff game. And I think if we can just clean some things up offensively, they potentially can do that this week.
Well, and we'll review that that matchup against Baltimore. You could have won Saturday's game, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
With that, even Cincinnati with, like, defense was horrible, not good.
Horrible game plan, right? And Tomlin was like questioned repeatedly about this, and his answer was not good. But you know, we kept running into a five man front, you know, 7-8 people in the box, and they didn't adjust until the fourth quarter. And by then, the game was over, and by then, we dropped a pass that could have put us in field goal and a chance to win the game and stuff like that. So even, that's what I'm saying, even coming into the game with the wrong scheme, offensive scheme, not necessarily running the ball that well, having like, I think four or five drops in the game, we almost won. So if you want to focus on the negatives, which I think a lot of fans have, the media has and stuff like that, you're going to say, oh, man, this team is not that good, which I think they're not that good. I think they're okay. But you can focus on the negatives or you can choose to focus on like the positives. And I think that's what I'm going to focus on. I think there's a lot of good things, even in these last few games, things that are correctable, that if we can get those fixed, I can see this team not only winning this week, but making a run in the playoffs.
Keep that mentality because I think Baltimore is favored by 10 points.
Yeah, 9.5.
9.5. So keep that mentality because you're going to need it. I predicted that they would go 9-8. They went 10-7. There were some games, like some games that they should have won, especially like Cleveland. I think that was one that I thought that they should have won. But everything else was, you know, they had a great first half, and then the second half they kind of faltered a little bit. I'm a little concerned that the drop off from first half, they were almost 30 points a game. Second half, it dropped to 17. Now, Pickens hasn't played in a lot of those games in the second half.
Yeah, he was hurt. He missed a couple games.
But he played on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
So what happened?
Just his head's not been in it the last couple weeks. So, you know, a combination of things, right? He's not getting enough targets. That's number one. That comes to offensive scheme, right? That needs to improve. And then number two, he just hasn't really been like in it. Like this past game, he was so frustrated. I think he had one target for 0 yards in the first half. Like what? I mean, if he's your best receiver, you're only giving him one target in the first half. We can't sit here and say that no other receiver would be frustrated, pissed off, and their mind wouldn't be in it. You know,
but you think that the other team just double teams? Like, hey, he's the best receiver.
No, it wasn't about double. It was just a horrible game plan. I'm telling you, Tomlin and Canada went in there and they got drilled. Alex, I'm sorry, Arthur Smith. I'm stuck in Canada.
You got PTSD.
Seriously. Arthur Smith and Tomlin got questioned repeatedly about this week. Why didn't you make any adjustments, especially after playing Cincinnati just 5 weeks before and putting up like 40 points, right? And that was like letting Russ cook. I think they ran only maybe 10 times that game. Why would you come in with a game plan where you put up 40 points by passing the ball and say, you know what, I want to run the ball. I don't care if it's not working. I'm just going to keep doing it and trying to keep grinding. And their answer, Tom's answer, was horrible. You know, he was like, oh, we were trying to keep possession of the ball and keep the ball out of Burrow's hands and all this other stuff. And that's just like living in your fear, which Tomlin always does. It's just poor game planning, poor coaching, poor coordinating. I don't know what you want to call it, but I think the coaches really let them down with their game plan for this game.
Let me play devil's advocate. If you guys lose this playoff game on Saturday, Was the year successful?
No. So, and I've talked about this a lot already this year. One, we have to win a playoff game. We haven't won in what, 8 years? This would be 9 years. If we don't win a playoff game the year, I don't care what the season looked like. Especially now since we've lost all these games in a row, I think like the pressure is going to be really high. The noise is going to be high. For Tomlin to, I don't think he's ever going to lose his job, but I think he's going to be under a lot of pressure to, and you know, that the ownership is going to be under pressure to like make some major changes, take away some control from him, you know, when it comes to hiring decisions or whatever. I don't know what else they can do if they don't, you know, move on from him, but, you know, and then if they go out and win, then great. But if they go out and have a stinker, there's going to be a lot of noise. But like I said at the beginning of the year, why the hell would you extend him, you know, before the season started? That made no sense to me, right? The guy hadn't done anything. But instead of waiting to see how the season turned out, you offer him an extension and extended his contract, which a lot of fans were like not happy about. Here we are again. Looking like, okay, it could be one and done again. And we're kind of just stuck in this like mediocrity basically with this team. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm not part of the negotiations and we're certainly not in that room. I just feel like Jerry Jones wants to see results. So he was like, I'm going to wait until the season's over whether I'm going to keep Mike McCarthy or not. And it worked out fine. He waited till the season's over and he said, okay, you can come back. I don't know why the ownership of the Steelers doesn't do that.
Especially after last season, how it ended. Rooney being interviewed and talking about how things need to change. We need to score more points and all this other stuff. Our offense needs to be better. And then you go into this year And you can argue that the offense, in some cases, especially when it comes to running the ball, they're like at the bottom of, you know, their rush attempts, they're up there. But in terms of like performance, productivity, they're at the bottom of the league with running the ball. Points scored, like you said, the last few weeks, they're not scoring. So why, as you know, an owner, would you say, yeah, I need to see some results and all this other stuff, but then extend him? And now you're in a position, well, you know, he's still got like another 2-3 years on his contract. There's nothing you could do at this point.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. Let's talk about the New England Patriots, because we weren't here. We didn't do a show, but they had the number one pick, the number one draft choice. And they decided to win the game.
Yeah.
And then immediately after the game, Mayer was let go. Which, listen, I'm perfectly fine with it. He was a terrible coach. You and I hit it right on the head. We predicted 4-13. They ended 4-13. But like you told you earlier, the difference was 4-13. Are they improving? Are they heading in the right direction? 4-13, there was no change. They got even worse. And now things are coming out about like he wasn't disciplining players. He was playing cards, coming back from games. Basically, he wasn't inexperienced, basically, when it comes out. Inexperienced. Yeah. And Robert Kraft is up there in age. He's not going to be, he's like Arthur Smith now. He's just like, I don't have time. I don't have the patience.
Yeah, he took the blame, right?
He took the blame because apparently he picked this guy like 5 years before he was hired. He actually said, hey, like back in 2020, he said, you should be part of the Patriots organization. See how things are run. And that caused a lot of friction, Bill Belichick. And I'm not mad. However, having said that, there were some bright spots. Drake May came to his own. Gonzalez is a real player. And that's about it. Because the first round receivers that he drafted were not, except maybe for Butte, but he was from last year. Polk, disappointment. Baker was disappointment. Douglas was good, but he's not going to, you know, take the top off the defense. So I think there's so much room for improvement. So much room for improvement. But it all starts with the culture, which currently they don't have a culture. If you are changing coaches, this is the third coach in like 3 years when they hire Mike Vrabel. You don't have a culture. At least the Steelers have a culture. Maybe it's not working, but they at least they have a culture. Patriots don't have one.
But it takes time, right? So when you move on from a coach after a year, even after 2 years, to be honest, that's not enough time if you want to build a winning culture. Now, at the same time, you know, in order to build a winning culture, you have to do the right thing. So you can't be playing cards in the back of the plane when your team just got your asses whooped, right? You as a leader have to show that winning's important and you're all in, you're invested in winning. And when you're not doing those things, like not showing it, and then what's even worse is like when you're talking in your post game press conferences and you're throwing players under the bus, in some cases, I think he did that a couple times this year. Those are things that, you know, players that just look at you and say, you know, I have no respect for you, you know, and you don't belong here and you're not a head coach, you know, material. That's when it can go completely wrong. So, you know, I was on the, you know, a few weeks ago, like, hey, let Mayo stay, you know, stay there. I know he has had some hiccups throughout the year with his press conference and stuff, but let's give him a chance. But towards the end of the season, I'll be quite honest, like you said, they hadn't really improved. The defense probably got worse throughout the year, right? Drake May was good, but there was nothing else you can point to say this team is doing better or he as a coach is performing better. So I think they made the right decision to move on.
I think so too. And there was a lot of backtracking. There was a lot of like, hey, Ramondre Stevenson fumbled twice in this game. And then he would be like, no, he's not going to start. But then he starts.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
That shows you're not connected with your coaching staff.
Yes.
You're not speaking to each other. You're not all on the same page. You as the head coach, you're the one who needs to be driving that.
I think for me, what did it was a couple of weeks ago when he threw the offensive coordinator under the bus, you know, with that comment of like, somebody asked him like, oh, did you like the play calling at the end? And he was like, son, like, you said it, not me. So I was like, whoa, you're the head coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Yeah, there was a lot of mistakes. This was a 4-13 team from the very beginning. That's why I kind of entertained myself with the over and unders, team futures. I just made myself like, you know what? I'm not going to invest myself in this Patriots team because they're just not good. The roster wasn't good. But now we're talking about Drake May. He doesn't have a sophomore skittish, AKA CJ Stroud type year. But, you know, if he has a coach, a real offensive coach, and, you know, the rumors had that Salah might be a defensive coordinator. And to be quite honest, he was pretty good in San Francisco.
Oh, he was great. And they loved him in New York, too. So he would be the perfect fit. But I'm worried. We talked about it already. You have to have the right offensive person in there. Offense has been the issue the last like 2 or 3 years. You got a rookie quarterback. You do not want a situation where he's going into year 3 and 4 with like 3 different coordinators, 3 different play callers. So you got to get this fixed like right now. Like, who's your guy? Who's the right person that can communicate well with May, teach him, coach him, bring him along, create plays for him that he can be successful in, so that you're not having this issue again? Because if you do, then you're not only are you losing, but you're stunting his growth and development as a quarterback. And that, you know, for a first round pick, that is the worst thing that can happen. So yes, they got to get not only the head coach right, they got to get the coordinator, the offensive coordinator right.
I mean, this is going to be an off season, a busy off season. And I don't even know if Elliot Wolf, he's a de facto GM. We don't even know if he's going to come back, because Mike Vrabel might be like, I can't work with this guy. So we don't know. We know that the coach is going to have input on that. So we don't know. But yes, I'm actually more hopeful of the future than I am when Mayo was hired.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a very, very good thing. The other thing that we want to talk about is, let's talk about our playoff predictions at the beginning of the season. Where the AFC, the NFC. Let's start with the NFC. Ron, who did you pick to make the playoffs?
Yeah, so let me pull this up real quick. We'll start with the NFC. I had Eagles winning the NFC East. I had the Lions winning the North. Did great there. NFC South, I had the Falcons. I don't think I did necessarily poorly there. They just missed it by a game. NFC West, I think everyone missed. I had the 49ers winning there, and obviously the Rams, clinched the West. And then from my wild card teams, this is where it kind of got ugly. I had the Bears. I had the Cowboys, and then I had the Packers that made it. But in actuality, it was the Vikings, Commanders, and Packers that made the wild card teams.
Ron, I tried to warn you about the Bears, but you weren't not listening.
I'll admit I bought into the hype, number one. Number two, their schedule was much tougher than
I think. It was easy schedule.
I thought there were some hard teams that they played, and not only was Caleb not ready, but that team from a coaching staff was just, they were probably more dysfunctional than the Patriot coaching staff, to be honest with you.
I mean, the Bears, the GM, and the front office, and the coaching staff would never, I never saw an eye. I feel like the front office put this team together like it was a Madden game. They were just like, hey, if we get veteran receivers and then we get like good linebackers and then we get like, it was like, wait, do you guys know where you play? You play in Chicago where it's cold, where the you throw the ball and it goes sideways. Like that, I knew from the start that this team was not going to make it. And no matter how good Caleb was in college, that doesn't always translate to the NFL.
Yeah, I agree.
So I was let me see some more years.
Yeah. And I don't want to turn this into the Caleb Williams podcast or anything, but I think there were a lot of positives in his performance down the stretch. Those last few games, he had some games that, you know, he threw for 300 yards and looked much better. Still making some mistakes from here to there, but it, you know, does he have to improve? Absolutely. He has to improve on what he's doing. This ain't college, like you said. You can't be running around, you know.
They'll catch you.
Yeah, they'll catch you. Like, make the first read and throw the ball. Don't hold it and look for somebody else. Take the play that's there in front of you. But at the same time, you know, it's not all about him. I think, you know, they got to get the right coaches. The coaches were, you know, that situation was horrific this year. So they got to get that fixed.
So I had the Eagles in the East, Lions in the North. I picked the Bucks because I never bought into the Falcons hype. I knew, even though it's different with the Commanders because they actually had like a real quarterback, Cousins was not ready. From day one, when we saw that game, he was like, he looks very uncomfortable. So I leaned towards the Bucks. Seahawks, I mean, they were there.
They were there.
But it was the Rams. For the wild card, the Niners. Niners had a season from hell.
Yeah. Everyone had the Niners in the playoffs, whether they're, you know, winning the West or being a wild card team. So they had a terrible season. You just got to chalk it up to bad luck and just move on from that.
Yeah. Now, the Packers and the Rams, obviously, they won the West. So I wasn't that far off. Yeah, really, two teams really that didn't make it.
Yeah.
From what I pick. And then I have the Lions winning the NFC conference. Ron, who do you have for the AFC?
Yeah, so I had a lot of misses here. I had the Dolphins winning the AFC East. That was terrible. Ravens winning the North. I had the Colts, which I don't know how bad that was now looking back, just the way the Texans performed. Obviously, I had Richardson playing a lot better, and I thought he'd be able to like get them to win that division. That was off there, though. I had the Chiefs as my AFC West champions, which they won. And then for my wild card teams, I had the Steelers, Texans, and Bills. And it was the Chargers, Steelers, and Denver. So not too bad, too bad. Much better than how I did in the NFC.
Well, listen, I don't feel bad because just how you bought into the hype for the Bears, I bought into the hype for the Jets because I thought that all they needed was a quarterback. Salah had the defense ready, but little did we know that
Aaron
was going to be terrible, terrible. And then I had the Steelers win the AFC North. Here, I had the Jaguars winning the South. And I only picked the Jaguars because at the beginning of the season, I saw an interview with the owner, Khan, and he was just like, oh, this is the best team I've ever seen. Yeah. And I was like, oh, wow. The owner is saying that? And I was like, does he know football? Yeah, he owns a team. He hasn't known football. Nope.
Nope.
Nope. He does not know football. Of course, I had the Chiefs. And then for my wild card, I have the Ravens, Texans, and Bills, which are all in the playoffs, but they won their division. Are you surprised about Denver and Chargers?
I am not surprised about Denver or the Chargers. I thought, just looking at the coaching staff, thought both of these teams could be in the playoffs, to be honest with you. You know, I thought Denver had a real one in Bo Nix. I thought he's going to be fine. I thought, you know, obviously, again, going back to the coaching, you got an offensive minded coach that he'd be able to get the best out of Bo Nix. So I'm not overly surprised that Denver squeaked in there.
Yeah, I mean, Bo Nix really, really surprised me. I gave him no credit because he had been in college for like 10 years. I feel like he's been playing forever. But they have a good head coach in Payne. So hats to Denver, hats Chargers. I knew that both these teams had a good head coach. I didn't think that they were good enough to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I still have the Ravens winning the AFC champions. You have the Ravens as well.
Yeah.
So we have the Lions and Ravens facing each other in the final Super Bowl game.
Yeah. Would you change your mind on that right now? Just based on the teams that are in there, are you still predicting Ravens and Lions?
I still like the Lions. The Ravens, not so much, because I don't know if that defense is good enough to stop the Bills. I want to see them in action. I don't even know if that defense is good enough to stop the Steelers. I want to see them in action. But I feel like they've improved a little in the last, you know, second half of the season, so we'll see. But yeah, I still like the Ravens and Lions in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I got the Lions in there for sure. In the AFC though, we'll get to our picks. I do not have the Ravens. I think their schedule and the teams that they are going to have to match up and play is really tough, just based on the way they play, the style of game that they'll have. So I think the AFC is up in the air. I think anything can happen outside of like the Texans. I don't think the Texans have any chance whatsoever. I think, you know, Bills probably have the strongest chance, and the rest, I think it's really up in the air.
Well, then let's just jump into it. Let's go into the wild card weekend, because the games are set for to start Saturday at 4. This is like the 11th, maybe the 10th year that the Texans have played on a Saturday schedule. I don't know what that tells them about the Texans, but we'll start there. The LA Chargers at the Houston Texans. When I did this spreadsheet, the spread was 3 for the Chargers. 43.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
I am going with the Chargers here. Houston has not been playing well. CJ Stroud, as you mentioned, has had a sophomore slump. More importantly, they've had a number of injuries at the receiver position, which I think is going to impact them down the road. So now the Chargers are a team that won't necessarily put up a lot of points, so I can see them losing here too. I got a close game here. I got Chargers winning 20-17. I think the defense is going to be the difference for the Chargers. I think they'll do just enough offensively to win the game against Houston.
Yeah, I also have the Chargers winning. I used my KISS method and I just said, who has a better QB? Chargers. Who has a better coach? Chargers. Who has a better defense? Chargers. So it was like, okay, you're making it really simple. Yes, I agree with you. Chargers don't score a lot of points. They're going to keep this game close, but I have them pulling it off. 21-17. CJ Stroud, he had the jibs. I don't know what's going on. He just didn't look himself. I do like Mixon a lot, but I don't think Mixon by himself is enough. I think that Harbaugh is going to have the team ready. Even though it's a road game, I still have the Chargers pulling it off. And if the Chargers win, they're basically a wild card team, so they're going to be on the road no matter what. And we'll skip the Pittsburgh game. That's a Saturday night. We'll go into Sunday. Denver at Buffalo. This is a 9-point spread. 47.5 is the over and under. And let me just say that it's definitely the Chargers Houston game. I think they'll go under. Denver Buffalo 47.5. Ron, what's your prediction?
Give me the over. I think both of these offense can go off. And I'm going to surprise you here. I just talked about the Bills and how they have a good path to get to the Super Bowl and could be seen as a favorite. I'm going with upset here. Two things. One, Denver has had a good season. Their defense is really good. Bo Nix has played well. I think their coach is going to have them ready, you know, prepared to, with some plays to score points. I also think Buffalo is going to score points, but it's going to take a little bit for them to get going. The reason I'm pulling an upset here, but I know this game's in Buffalo. I know it's a 9-point spread, but I can argue that Josh Allen he's been off for 3 straight weeks, right? He didn't play last week, right? He sat, didn't play against the.
Well, he started like one series.
Okay.
And then not even one series. He did like one play and he was out.
Yeah. And then if you look at their schedule, and I'm pulling it up now, I mean, you can argue like he's had a bye week for 3 straight weeks because they played New England, right? They had the Jets and then they had New England. So, I mean, that competition that they've had for the last 3 weeks has been so bad, right? And I know he played okay and didn't have to do much because those games got out of control, right? But I have a feeling they're going to start off a little bit slower than people think. And I think Denver is going to come out and surprise people here. So I'm going with a sneaky upset here. 33-30 Denver.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And mind you, I've changed this, like, I went back and forth. I just want to say this, like, at least 4 times. Because it's so hard to pick against Buffalo at home. You would think they'd come in mentally focused and prepared, and I think they will be. But I think, like I said, the competition that they've played the last 3 weeks is almost like having a bye week. And if you're not prepare to face a really good team, and I'm not saying Denver is a very, very, very elite team, but they're a decent team. They're in the playoffs. If you're not mentally focused and not ready, and you haven't seen that type of competition, you can get off slow. And I think, you know, Denver, they're going to throw everything at Buffalo. And I just have, it's just a feeling I got. I, you know, that's why I'm going with that.
No, 33-30. That makes total sense. Total sense, because again, using my method, who has a better coach? Denver. Who has a better defense? Denver. Who has a better QB? Oh, that's where you're like, Josh Allen. And that's where, like, okay, Josh Allen kind of trumps everything. Because he's going to be the MVP, right? He's not, even though Joe Burrow's probably put up better numbers.
Lamar's up there too.
Josh Allen is going to be the MVP. And I don't think that he wants to go out losing at home in a playoff game. MVPs don't do that. That's the only reason why I have Buffalo winning, because of Josh Allen. Now, having said that, if Josh Allen has a terrible game, Buffalo is going to lose for sure.
Absolutely.
But I just don't see that. Especially at home, especially bad weather, which they're predicting. I like Buffalo to win. I have them winning this game 24-21. I don't see a lot of points, but I see that because Denver's going to keep it close. It's just that having Bo Nix, a rookie in a playoff game, I know that Payne has coached him well. One mistake, all it takes is one mistake. Because I think Josh Allen, if he makes a mistake, he can, the very next play, he can make up for that mistake. Yeah. Bo Nix, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Listen, I said it, it's hard to pick against Buffalo and the, like you said, the potential MVP. But there's just something about, like, at the end of the season, again, the competition. We talked about the Steelers and how, like, I think those games are preparing them for what's ahead. Buffalo, those games against New England and the Jets aren't going to prepare you, you know, for the playoffs. So you better, and Josh Allen's going to be locked in and focused, but behind Josh Allen, it's like a bunch of rookies and second year receivers, right? Are those guys going to be locked in and focused? Is that defense that's played terrible going to be locked in and focused? I don't know. Now, we could be completely wrong. 9-point spread. This could be a blowout for all we know, but I just don't see the game going that way. And I see you don't see it going that way either. So it's going to be a pretty close game for
what? Yeah, I feel like it's going to be close, but you know, it's just too much riding on Bo Nix. Too much riding on Bo Nix. That's why I have Buffalo winning. The next game, Green Bay at Philadelphia. Philly's favored by 5.5. 45.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
I got Philly winning 26-20. Too many injuries for Green Bay. Watson's out, done for the year. Quarterback's been hurt all year. And I think he's questionable coming into this game. So
Malik Willis?
No, the starter for Green Bay. I don't think they... I got a 20 score, but I think this is one that Philly can get up early and control the game. And it's a bigger blowout than the score is going to look like. So 5.5-point spread, I think, is about right. I got them winning by 6.
Yeah, I think Philly has the better defense and the better QB, the better running back. Even though Jacobs has been really, really good, I still like Barkley better. Like you mentioned, Love just hasn't been the same. He just lost Watson. So Reed, he can show 1 week, but not the next. So I don't know what they're going to get out of him. I like this Philly team to win. Like you said, maybe win by a lot or get in front and just run the ball. I heard some rumors about Jalen Hurts is not 100%.
He's not.
It's the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Come on. Nobody's at 100%. So don't give... I feel like the excuse train, like, oh, you know, he's not 100%. He wasn't 100% last... It's the playoff. No one's 100%.
But he hasn't played in a couple weeks, though. So that's one thing, I guess, that's in Green Bay's favor is, like, Hurts has been in the concussion protocol and he hasn't played in a couple weeks, so we'll see.
Yes, we'll definitely see. Okay, Ron, Washington at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is favored by 3.5. The over and under is 50.5 points. What's your prediction?
I'm going over that 50.5 points, and I went back and forth with this. I think this game could go either way too, but I'm going Tampa 31-28, and it kind of goes back to what you were saying about the rookie quarterback. So I'm going to talk on the other side of my behind right now and say I think there's too much pressure on the quarterback here for, you know, and that Washington defense can be scored on. And Tampa, you know, when things are clicking, and I'm not saying things are clicking right now, but they got a lot of weapons, right? Evans is good. Irving is good. Mayfield is a trustworthy quarterback. They have a good tight end. I can't see Tampa, given how they've played and stuff that they've gone through the last like two seasons, what happened with their exit with Detroit last year. I think they should have won the game in the playoffs. I can't see them losing at home to Washington to a rookie quarterback. I got them winning 31-28. Like I said, it's going to go over that 50.5 spread total. But give me Tampa. I have more faith in Baker Mayfield than I do in Jaden Daniels.
See, I'm also going over with the points, but this is my upset. I think Washington wins this one because we've been watching Tampa all year. Their defense is bad.
But we watched them last year play to like an 8-9 or 9-8 record.
And they were one and done.
But they almost won that game.
They almost did, but they're one and done. I see everything you mentioned is correct. They have the weapons. They have Mayfield. But I don't trust either of these coaches. Obviously, Dan Quinn, there's history there. But Todd Bowles has let me down. He's supposed to be a defensive coordinator, defensive, you know, guru. But this defense hasn't been pressed. The tackling hasn't been there. Washington actually has pretty good receivers in McLaurin. I think Daniels, we talk about Bo Nix not having it. Daniels has it, and I think he's going to run, pass. He's going to have the full, you know, the full deal, the full get up of this game. I have them winning 35-28. I predict a lot of points in this game. And I think Washington, first of all, we're talking about two rookies making the playoffs.
Yeah, it's great.
So this is a game to watch because of the points. The last wild card game, this is for some reason, was it a Monday game last time?
I think so. I can't remember, to be honest with you. It seems weird though, right? Having a, why? Like why?
Money. Yeah. We know the answer is money. Minnesota at the Rams, Los Angeles Rams. Minnesota's favored by 2.5. 47.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, this game could be moved too, right? So they're talking about the fires in California, potentially moving it. I think they have a backup plan to move it to Arizona. I don't know when they're going to make the call. I would imagine they'd wait until maybe Friday to decide if they're going to have, well, maybe Saturday, decide if they're going to have it Monday in LA or versus Arizona. But either way, I don't think there's any home field advantage for the Rams. They never really played with a home field advantage. This game could go anyway. I think it's going to be close. I know Sam Darnold hasn't really played that well, all that well, but I think some of the noise is a little bit overblown. I'm gonna say the Vikings win this game 30-27. They just have way too many weapons, and I trust Flores to get that defense to make a timely stop or two. You know, I think the Rams will score. Puka's good. Kyren Williams good. They just had their other running back that went down though. I think it'll be a close game, but give me the Vikings to win this one 30-27.
So you think it's going to be an over? They're going to go over the points 47.5. I have the Rams winning this game because you can tell that I was not really there all last week because I had no idea Jimmy G was starting. I was like, why is Jimmy G starting? Why is Stafford? And then I come to the conclusion that they already won the division. So they like, no, we're just going to sit at all our starters and we don't care if we're the third seed or the sixth seed. Doesn't care who we're going to play. We're going to have a home game. So they knew they were going to have a home game. They just didn't know the opponent, right? I think that McVay, first of all, these are two very good coaches. Minnesota has a better defense, but I trust Stafford over Sam Darnold. I trust Puka over Jefferson Addison because Detroit, they shut him down, right? Week 18, they were like, no, you're not gonna pass.
Go but Detroit pass has much better defense, I think, than even with injury, they have a better defense than the Rams.
I think that they're gonna scheme a lot. I think the Rams are gonna scheme a lot. I have them going under. I have the Rams winning 24-21. It's gonna be a close game, but I think McVay, Stafford is just, even with Brian Flores, I think that's too much. I think, and last week I had Minnesota, well, not last week, 2 weeks ago, I had Minnesota as my number one team. And they lost game against Detroit, even though they bought like 1,500 tickets. Didn't matter. It's you play inside the lines. So I got the Rams winning. So I got two upsets. I got the Washington and I got the Rams. You have Denver as the upset. And then the you picked the favorites for the other ones. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll next week we'll do episode 116.
Hey, we still got to do Pittsburgh game. You haven't done that yet.
Oh, I almost skipped the Pittsburgh game. All right. Let's go and do the Pittsburgh game. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. This is the biggest spread, Ron. 9.5. 45.5 is the over and under. I think that's high too as well. Ron, what's your prediction?
I think I've set this up already throughout the podcast about the Steelers. And yeah, they're not playing well, but you got to look at the competition, look at the injuries, look at the play calling, look at a number of things. Pittsburgh, outside of this past game, has really owned Baltimore, right? So I don't care if this game is in Baltimore. I don't care what the weather is going to be like. They're predicting really cold, possible snow. I don't care what Pittsburgh looked like for the last 4 weeks. I think the 9.5 is an insult. I could be wrong. Vegas always is smarter than everyone else. But I'm picking an upset here, too. So this is going to be my second upset. I got Pittsburgh winning this one. I do think it'll be go under the 45.5. Give me Pittsburgh to win 23-20. I think Russell Wilson and the offense they won't be like what they did last week and the week before that. I don't think we'll make as many mistakes, you know, with penalty flags and stuff like that. Give me Pittsburgh to win the game in an upset.
Okay, I talked about them not scoring enough. 17 points is just not going to be enough. I talked about Pickens not being involved at all. And if I use my method, both coaches are good. When it comes to the defense, I would pick the Pittsburgh defense. It's better than the Baltimore defense. When it comes to quarterbacks, wow. We're talking about the MVP candidate here. Now, Lamar is, 2-6 in the playoffs. Not a great record. So, you saying that he's going to go 2-7 in the playoffs? I just don't see that happening. I have Baltimore winning 28-10.
Wow.
I think that 9.5 is about right.
Whew.
Okay. I don't trust Wilson at all. Against good competition, I don't trust him. And this is pretty good competition.
Yeah.
The last game, Baltimore won by 17 points. I think that the...
So what happened?
Well, you know, Fields were playing. Wilson was playing. Pickens was involved. I think that you guys were on a run. And Baltimore wasn't ready. And we know Baltimore wasn't ready because... There was multiple weeks where I was like, no, they're not a top 10 team. No, they're not a top 10. Finally, they got it together in December and they were like, no, we are this juggernaut offensive team. We're going to score points with Lamar. We're safe flowers with the tight end. With safe Derrick lab. Henry, which Derrick Henry didn't. This is the first year with the team.
Yeah.
And he's healthy. So I don't know. I think 9.5 is about right. Compared to what we've seen the Steelers lose 4 in a row, 5 or 6 games. I'm sorry. This might be an early exit for the Steelers. And we know Tomlin is just going to sit back and be like, oh, well, oh. I guess
I'll be here next year. Yeah, I'll be here
next year. Yeah. So with a new offensive coordinator, because Arthur Smith, I think he's interviewing for head coaching job.
Yeah, he's had a number of inquiries for sure.
So I don't think he'll be there long. So, like you said, maybe they bring in independent offensive coordinator. The thing is that Tomlin is going to have his say no matter what.
He has his thumb on Arthur Smith's neck because there's no way Arthur Smith would not have adjusted last week. And you can tell Tomlin was like, run the ball. I don't care. Just keep running it. Just keep running it. And that's been the case for the last like 2 or 3 seasons. You can say even Matt Canada. You can say, you know, Tomlin was like really dictating what to do in every situation. So, yeah, I think, listen, I'm not saying Arthur Smith is the best coordinator, but offensively we have looked at, you know, if you compare this year to last year, he did better, you know, calling plays. So You know, I just think Tomlin needs to like let go a little bit, let Smith do his thing, let Russell cook, and they'll be okay.
Listen, this is the best of the best. This is the second tournament. So none of these teams, you know, for lack of a better word, I basically have like a weakness.
Yeah.
This is the best of the best. So, all right, Ron. So next week, we'll do episode 116. We'll talk about the division choices, the division playoff scenarios. We'll look at our wild card predictions. And then we'll have our NFL news. Do you have anything to say to the Steelers fans out there?
Listen, man, I know a lot of people have jumped ship already expecting a one and done. Maybe I'm just like overly positive, and I'm normally not. I'm very critical of this team, but I just have a feeling. I have a gut feeling that they'll show up. They looked loose and relaxed yesterday in practice, last couple of days in practice, from stuff I've seen online. So listen, everyone's predicting that they'll lose, and they might, but they're not losing to me by 9.5 points. I think that would be a huge disappointment if they get blown out. Then we really need to be having a conversation about Tomlin and his future if they get embarrassed in the playoffs.
But what's that conversation going to be like?
I think the Steeler fans will just be consoling each other saying,
yes,
listen,
it's always next year.
It's always next year. There's nothing we can do. This guy is lifelined in as a Steelers coach. And unless you stop going to the games or something, hit.
What year is it? 12th year?
I don't even know.
No, it might be because he came in 2011, 2010. I don't know. I know that he's been there for a while now. But you know, it's just like, if you don't have the right QB, you can be a great coach, but if you don't have the right QB, you're not gonna win the Super Bowls. You're not gonna win the titles. You're not gonna win, you know, all that other good stuff.
16 seasons.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. 16 seasons. Wow. Yeah. So guys, enjoy. We have 47 degrees in Florida. I'm sure it's colder somewhere else, but guys, enjoy your week. We'll see you next episode. In that case, I say peace.
Peace.
All right, that's it, guys. That's the end of the show. Thanks so much for all your support and listening today. If you got any questions, comments, feedback, feel free to email us at simsportsmedia@gmail.com. That's SYMSPORTSMEDIA@gmail.com. Peace.